And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9, and Happy New Year. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Martin Woodward.
And Martin, you're over here in town just synchronizing
exactly.
with the engineering team.
We've got all the good Coplex projects going on inside Microsoft now, so just syncing up with those teams, seeing how they're going, and trying to encourage and drive the use of open source inside Microsoft.
That's cats and dogs living together,
exactly.
right? And birds,
in
why not? Sure. So you have a new role since the last time we saw you.
Last time I was on the show, I just taken over as PM of Coplex.
Brand new. So now you know everything there is to know about Coplex.
Let's hope so. So we'll have a couple of Coplex projects in the show. How about that?
Excellent. That sounds good. But first, our top story, which we've been off the air for a few weeks, so some of this is regurgitated from December. But Build is now been announced for 2014.
Yep.
It's happening April 2nd through 4th in the Moscone Center in San Francisco.
Yep.
And registration is not quite live, but I understand it will be live soon, so we'll post another update to the show once you can actually go plop down a credit card and sign up. But this gives developers a couple of options actually in the spring time frame, because not only is Build happening in early April, but Tech Ed is happening in Houston, I believe, in mid-May. So I'm sure there'll be lots of good stuff to share with developers coming out of the Microsoft Stack at both conferences. Just have to decide, do you want to go to Texas or do you want to go to San Francisco?
Exactly. Will you be going to the Build?
I will be going to both Build and Tech Ed.
Well, there we go,
then.
One top tip to the Niners listening. Mm-hmm. If you go to the link in the show notes, it tells you when registration's opening, because Build sells out really quick.
Oh, that's true.
So if you, Greg, the producer of the show, gave me a tip, because I've never managed to get into Build, ever. I've never been to a Build. So, and what he told me is he goes to the site, gets ready, and then as soon as registration opens, he goes through, and then rather than filling out like the hotel registration things, you can do that afterwards. He just goes through, pays for ticket, gets to the very end of the process to grab his slot, and then he goes back later and gets the hotel and things, because sometimes it sells out in minutes.
Like while you're filling
out
the hotel.
While you're filling out the hotel
form. That's good
to
know.
So just get straight through like you would do with Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Go straight through, get your ticket, and then come back and add your hotel.
Excellent.
But don't tell your friends.
Yeah. It'll just be our secret.
Exactly.
All right. So also over the holidays, we had these new emulators for Windows Phone come out. So this is the Windows Phone 8 emulators for Update 2 and Update 3. So you can run all of these side by side on the same machine so that you can see what people that are at different levels of update with Windows Phone 8 firmware will see on their devices, including the new 1080p emulator for the higher end devices.
Uh-huh.
So that's really nice, and so if you're a Windows Phone developer, that is a must have. So
we've done some work recently internally. We've been working on the Roslyn project.
Right.
It's been the codename for the new compiler for the managed languages. We threw the switch, and we're actually using Roslyn now to build Roslyn and Visual Studio, and all of the .NET framework and stuff is now internally being built on top of the Roslyn compiler.
Which has got to be one of the largest code bases in the world. That's impressive.
Yeah, so, and it's like, I think it's like 60,000 projects and things get built as part of the nightly builds. And so that's the first stage of now really dogfooding Roslyn. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we've got to do is obviously we'll be using Roslyn as the compiler, in the next version. So now we've got to go through and make sure all our tooling is working with the new compiler.
Yeah.
And there's Roslyn, it's a bit of a black box to me personally. I just know it just does the compiles, but it allows us to put tooling that really gets in really deep into the compiler and gives us really rich language interactions that we can do inside Visual Studio. So, once we get there and get it fully integrated, it's going to be really interesting to see what the guys do with the tooling.
Yeah, especially for features like CodeLens,
I would imagine.
That would really light up a lot of powerful
CodeLens things. Actually already did a bit of, it was already kind of using Roslyn in 2013 behind the scenes. But it's going to really improve some of those type of things.
Interesting. I've actually been to Roslyn, New Mexico.
Have you really?
I can comment on that. Yeah, I was actually doing back in college, I was a consultant. I was doing some work at a bank in Roslyn, New Mexico.
Huh.
The bank happened to share a wall with the National UFO Museum.
No way.
Yeah. So it's an interesting place to go check out. So this is the JSON and Microsoft C++ REST SDK. So C++ Renaissance, a lot of C++ developers building modern apps out there.
Yeah.
This is obviously really helpful for taking those C++ apps and kind of bridging those to the modern web APIs that we're used to.
This is really useful because, back in the, so I came from like the TeamPrize days and cross-platform and things, and one of the reasons why we decided to build TeamPrize in Java at the time was because there wasn't a good API that we could use to talk to web services from, say, C and C++.
Yeah.
So this will really help if you need to talk to JSON from C++. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So that's good to know about.
Great.
So that's a nice walkthrough by Gaston Hillar.
Yeah. Also, a Coplex project that's recently been announced by Ross Gardler. It's TX, it's called.
Hmm.
It's what we use inside WCF and some of the service bus teams internally. We've actually open sourced it now. And it's a way of doing link queries over sort of logs and traces and be able to do fancy link syntax, which still kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
But I always have to when I'm reading it. But
LinkPad is your friend.
Yeah. But it allows you to use that over, you know, log and trace data and like, you know, log4net data and all sorts of things, and actually be able to, you know, pull out queries and split them off into events. And it uses reactive extensions behind the scenes.
Right.
As
yeah,
well.
That's really cool.
Another so there's lots of open source goodness there. It's
excellent.
Great to see.
Excellent. Good to know. So WMI Explorer, this is something that was new to me, because oftentimes, you know, you'll be trying to automate something, WMI gives you a really rich library to do that, and this just is a great explorer that that we found that allows you to just go peruse what all the different WMI commands are that you can use.
Iterate over it, and it gives you a UI to actually explore some of those. And the developers just put it up on Coplex. He's a, Microsoft guy, but this is something he did in his spare time, you know, at the weekends.
Yeah,
and he's looking at maybe seeing if he can do some other things in there, like execute commands and actually interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just awesome to be able to iterate over all those WMI goodness and fancy codes, because there's no way you could look them up and remember them all.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I could, but you know, most people can't.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of automation.
Yeah, so Scott Hanselman did a great post over on his blog about querying the ASP.NET REST interfaces. So not ASP.NET, sorry, the
Azure.
Windows Azure.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you know, as we know, is a friend of the show, and is famously frugal with his money. He likes to make sure he doesn't spend too much money, because he actually uses, for Azure accounts, we don't get lots of free Azure. We use the same as things that everybody uses. I use my MSDN subscription to activate $150 of Azure benefits. Now, that does last you a lot of time. I have a few VMs running in there, like some extra small VMs, 24/7, and I think it comes to about $6 at the end of the month. It's nothing.
Yeah.
But if you start getting extra large VMs, if you want to do something fancy, you know, then you can really start to eat into your usage. So there's a command line tool you can use to just switch off and on VMs easily, and, you know, Azure resources really easily from your command line.
Mm.
But what Scott is showing us is there's an SDK and a .NET library for actually automating that as well, so you can have stuff that, you know, in the morning, wake up and switch on your VM when you switch on your machine, switch on some resources in the cloud for you, or whatever you want, however you want to automate
it.
And it's a .NET library that actually uses the same, all it does is call the same REST APIs that
the
management
does.
console does. So if you, I mean, and they're just the REST APIs as well, so they're the published interfaces. So if you wanted, you could even get your Raspberry Pi switching on Azure resources for you as well.
Nice, good excellent. Stuff. Yeah, that's good to know. I moved my development environment to the cloud to an IaaS VM over the holidays, and that's like the machine that I do all my development on. So I just remote into it.
Yeah.
And then pro tip, if you haven't discovered, you can use multiple monitors with remote desktop now.
In Windows 8, Windows 8 and 8.1.
Yeah, go to the display tab before you connect and say, use all my monitors.
Wow.
And it's like, I don't even notice a difference.
No.
I mean, obviously, you've got to have a nice broadband connection,
yeah.
maybe not connect from a hotel room in the middle of, you know, wherever. But yeah, for most of my machines, it works great.
And you can pick a Azure data center that's close to near where you normally do your work to minimize the latency. But that said, I actually have a VM that I put into the, you know, the data centers in the US so I can access some stuff. And even that remote desktop is fine, because remote desktop uses no bandwidth.
Yeah.
And the Azure data centers have, you know, just amazing amounts of bandwidth.
Right.
The latency doesn't really hurt you that much at all unless you start playing, you know, unless you want to play games, it's not going to work.
Sure.
Great.
That's great. So Prism, we've talked about Prism in the past being a great set of guidance that comes from the Patterns and Practices team.
Yeah.
And so they also recently released their guidance for Windows 8.1.
Yep.
Application. So if you're building 8.1 applications, go get that. That's going to have the latest and greatest applications, which is not dramatically different from Windows 8 development.
No, not at all.
Which is not dramatically different from Windows Phone development.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're targeting Windows 8.1, that gives you the latest and greatest.
Yeah, the Patterns and Practices team have been on a tear lately. They've
yeah,
been shipping some great
those
stuff.
Guys never sleep, which is which is great.
So this is a book from the University of Hull, the C-sharp Yellow Book. This is actually the book the computer science department hand their first years as they come in to begin the first year course. So if you want to learn programming, then it's a great way of going through. Or if you want to introduce somebody into programming, it's a great way to go through. And it's basically the entire first year book. It's available for free as a PDF, the link's in the show notes. But it's also now available on Kindle. There's a 99-cent charge for the Kindle version.
Okay.
But the guys are actually donating that as well. So
great.
If you want to learn computer science, I never did computer science at school. I did physics, so I always have a little bit of computer science kind of envy.
Right. You'll figure it out one of these days.
One of these days. Yeah. I can code, I just don't know how to use the fancy words.
Right.
So it's a great way of doing a formal computer science first year course.
Right. Excellent. And the University of Hull is in the UK, right?
In the UK. And it's also, they did a lot of pioneering work in computer science at the University of Hull.
Oh, I was not aware of that. Uh-huh. That's great. So this is a great post by Wes McDonald. He's one of our Visual Studio ALM MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people ask me how to take the virtual machine that I published that contains TFS and Visual Studio and
a new version
ALM,
which is just available.
New version of it as of this morning, which contains all of the 2012 content that I've now upgraded and packaged into the 2013 VM. So you just have it one-stop shopping for that. A lot of people say, hey, how do I take that and actually run it in Azure IaaS?
Yeah.
And frankly, I just haven't had the time to formally sit down and document the steps, which is why I love our MVPs. Wes took the time to do that. One of the things that we've been doing with the recent releases is making sure that when we ship them, we use fixed disk VHD files, and also enable remote desktop by default.
Okay.
And that makes it a little easier so that all you have to do is follow these steps to run PowerShell, upload those to the cloud,
cool.
And now it's running in IaaS. Now, the one drawback of this approach, which is that you can't do true snapshotting in IaaS.
No.
So what I always like to do with my VM is I snapshot it right before I'm about to do a demo or run through a hands-on lab.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just roll back once you're done and it's back in the state that you did it before you went on stage or tried to experiment with something. That's a little bit more convoluted in IaaS because if you want to take a backup, you basically got to copy the VHD file to a different location in blob storage and then do a manual rollback. So I'm sure all that stuff's going to be coming in eventually in IaaS. I don't know that for sure. Sure, but one would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just need to run it in the cloud and do basic tasks from time to time, then this is a great way to do that.
There's actually a .NET API around doing some of that stuff as well, taking snapshots and things, people could potentially automate that.
Interesting.
And they've just also announced a read-only replicas of these stores, so you could even have disaster recovery into different data centers for your VHD if you wanted to get.
We've
really got to
have you on the show more often. I'm learning so much just by doing this show. This is awesome. So this is another one that I love. This is Windows XP migration to Windows 8.1.
XP support's running out anytime now.
It is running out very soon, and it's easy in our Redmond bubble to just to think that the entire world is already running in Windows 8.1 with the latest upgrades and everything else. But really, then you walk into your local bank or supermarket and you realize, gosh, they're still using
Windows XP. Or the ATM machine even.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Exactly. So this is a Microsoft Virtual Academy course, which is targeted at how do you upgrade from Windows XP, which you may have installed using a stack of floppy disks.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe that was retired in
Windows 95.
95 was the last one. So you certainly used a CD, of course, to install Windows XP to Windows 8.1, which now just is delivered over the web.
Yeah.
So lots of finer points in here, which are covered as part of that migration experience. I'm still waiting for the Windows 3.1 upgrade to Windows 8.1. I need that guidance.
It's 3.1.1. You can't do 3.1. You have to go via 3.1.1 to get the network stack.
Yeah. Good to know.
Uh-huh.
Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
So, Martin, did you have these, are you familiar with these Showbiz Pizza Palaces? Growing up in the UK, you probably...
This is a cultural reference too far for me, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, this was a blast from the past for me, because when I was a little kid, on my birthday parties, or when I wanted to, when I did a really good report card, my parents would take me to this place called Showbiz Pizza Palace.
Right.
And you go in and you eat bad pizza, but the best part of these are these animatronics that sit on stage, and they play... really well orchestrated, songs to movements, and it really looks like this group of, lions and tigers and bears are actually playing these songs along, right? And I used to be so captivated by these things as a little kid. And then sometime in the early to mid 90s, they just disappeared, and I never understood
funnily
why.
Funnily enough, video games and things like that came and take over.
Yeah, all these CGI. Other things, right? But what I discovered over the holidays, thanks to Brian Peake, is that they there's actually this movement of hobbyists out there who have managed to find these old robots Wow. through dumpster diving or buying them off of eBay or whatever else, and they've managed to start reprogramming them. And so there's a whole set of shows out there that are to, you know, hip hop and all sorts of modern music. And there's a documentary that actually talks about the rise and fall of Showbiz Pizza Palace, and how there's this one guy down in Orlando who started the whole thing, who's still managing this whole workshop. Anyway, you've got to watch the documentary.
Okay.
It's a fascinating way to you know, waste an hour and a half. But I just thought this was really cool and worth checking out, and just a great example of how, you know, modern hobbyists and people that are passionate about this stuff have really, you know, managed to keep it going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, you can show that to your family as well, let them know what you were doing.
Absolutely,
like
yeah.
Great. So one of the things I wanted to do for my pick of the week was they've just done announced Bing Code Snippets as a Visual Studio Gallery extension. Mm. So you can load it in and easily get some code snippets into Visual Studio. Now, those code snippets are around a bunch of Bing functionality, which I didn't know existed, and it's really easy to use. So, you know, if you want to do, say, speech stuff in Windows Phone 8 or in Windows 8, you know, if you want to make it listen to what you're saying and,
right.
and do speech recognition, or if you want to do speech synthesis, if you want to do text-to-speech in Windows 8.1, that actually is a really, really good text-to-speech system built in that you can use for in your store apps.
Mm-hmm.
And then also doing translations and the translator API, and even doing optical character recognition. We have all these services available that we use, and Bing actually make them available to you to use in your own applications.
That's great.
It's really, really good. I was having to play with the speech synthesis one, trying to get the old Brian the Build Bunny. I was trying to rejuvenate him and actually have my computer doing the Brian the Build Bunny stuff. But you can get your applications to speak to you. You can get them to recognize talk. And the way the speech recognition works on the phone, it actually takes your audio snippet and it uploads it to the cloud, and you get it for free. I think it's something ridiculous, like 50,000 like API invocations or something. And then if you want more, you can go
pay
and get a contract
them,
with
them
and things. You know, you pay as a service. But there's plenty there to play with and just do little play applications and test. It's
the one thing I don't see there is the Maps SDK.
Yeah, I think that's a separate one. This is just for pulling in the. There's a Maps control, is it not built in? I can't remember now.
Okay.
But it's all under the Windows.star namespaces. Windows.media and things like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's worth looking at, and it's a great way of you can go through on the web in the show notes and actually look at the samples. But this is great of just I need the OCR control here.
Right.
Just control CK blah blah blah,
right.
And you've got it. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Sounds good. Well, thanks for letting us know about that and all the other nuggets you've shared with us. Hopefully, we can have you back now that you're coming to Redmond more frequently.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we will see you next week.